So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, chapter 24, verse 34. Mama pankajanabaya,
Mama pankajanabaya,
Bhuta shukshmendriyatmane,
Bhuta shukshmendriyatmane,
Vasudevaya shantaya,
Vasudevaya shantaya,
Ustashtaya svarochise,
Ustashtaya svarochise,
Nama pankajanabaya,
Nama pankajanabaya,
Bhuta shukshmendriyatmane,
Bhuta shukshmendriyatmane,
Vasudevaya shantaya,
Vasudevaya shantaya,
Ustashtaya svarochise,
Ustashtaya svarochise,
Nama pankajanabaya,
Nama pankajanabaya,
Bhuta shukshmendriyatmane,
Bhuta shukshmendriyatmane,
Vasudevaya shantaya,
Vasudevaya shantaya,
Kutashtaya svarochise,
Kutashtaya svarochise,
Nama pankajanabaya, Bhuta shukshmendriyatmane, Vasudevaya shantaya, Shukshmendriyatmane Vasudevaya Shantaya
Kutashtaya Svarochise Namah Pankajanabhaya Bhuta Shukshmendriyatmane
Vasudevaya Shantaya
Kutashtaya Svarochise
Atmane Vasudevaya Shantaya Kutashtaya Svarochise Ladies
Nama
Pankajanabhaya
Bhuta
Shukshmendriyatmane
Vasudevaya Shantaya
Nama pankajanabhaya Bhuta shukshmendriyatmane Vasudeva shantaya Kutashtaya svarochise
Nama
All obeisances unto you
Pankajanabhaya
Pankajanabhaya
Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
from whose navel the lotus flower emanates,
from whose navel the lotus flower emanates, Bhuta Shukshma,
the sense objects,
Indriya,
the senses,
Atmane,
the origin. Vasudevaya,
Vasudevaya,
unto Lord Vasudev, Shantaya,
Shantaya,
always peaceful,
Kutashtaya,
without being changed,
Svarochise,
unto the Supreme Illumination. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. My Lord, you are the origin of the creation by virtue of the lotus flower which sprouts from your navel. You are the supreme controller of the senses and the sense objects. And you are the all-pervading Vasudev. You are most peaceful, and because of your self-illuminated existence, you are not disturbed by the six kinds of transformations. Purport. The Lord as Garbhodakashayi Vishnu lies in the ocean of Garbha within this universe, and from his navel the lotus flower sprouts. Lord Brahma is generated from the lotus flower, and from Lord Brahma the creation of this material world begins. As such, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Garbhuta Kashyapa Vishnu, is the origin of the material senses and sense objects. Since Lord Shiva considers himself to be one of the products of the material world, his senses are under the control of the Supreme Creator. The Supreme Lord is also known as Rishikesh, Master of the Senses, which indicates that our senses and sense objects are formed by the Supreme Lord. As such, he can control our senses and out of his mercy engage them in the service of the Master of the Senses. In the conditioned state, the living entity struggles in this material world and engages his senses for material satisfaction. However, if the living entity is graced by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can engage these very senses in the service of the Lord. Lord Shiva desired not to be misled by the material senses, but to engage always in the service of the Lord, without being subject to contamination by materialistic influences. By the grace and help of Lord Vasudev, who is all-pervading, one can engage his senses in devotional service without deviation, just as the Lord acts without deviation. The words shantaya, kutashtaya, svarochse are very significant. Although the Lord is within this material world, he is not disturbed by the waves of the material existence. However, conditioned souls are agitated by six kinds of transformations. Namely, they become agitated when they are hungry, when they are thirsty, when they are aggrieved, when they are illusioned, and when they grow old, and when they are on their deathbed. Although conditioned souls become very easily illusioned by these conditions in the material world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a Supersoul, Vasudev, is never agitated by these transformations. Therefore it is said here, Dashtaya, that he is always peaceful and devoid of agitation because of his prowess. He is described herein as Svarochise, indicating that he is illuminated by his own transcendental position. In other words, the individual soul, although within the illumination of the Supreme, sometimes falls down from the illumination because of his tiny position. And when he falls down, he enters into material conditional life. The Lord, however, is not subject to such conditioning. Therefore, he is described as self-illuminated. Consequently, any conditioned soul within the material universe can remain completely perfect when he is under the protection of Vasudev or when he is engaged in devotional service. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyanagina Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we have a very interesting and nice verse translation and purport today. I thought I would speak a little bit about Lord Shiva and then a few of the points that Srila Prabhupada makes, which are very relevant for us struggling devotees in Krishna consciousness, how to apply the basic philosophy. So, as we know, Lord Shiva is considered the greatest devotee of Lord Krishna. And when we are neophyte, we have a tendency to, you know, make distinctions and discriminate in the wrong way, unfortunately. So many times, you know, neophyte devotees of Lord Krishna and neophyte devotees of Lord Shiva, they have tendency to have confrontations and see in very sectarian ways. And I've heard from, you know, from history that there have been even battles and confrontations between devotees of Lord Shiva and devotees of Lord Krishna. And we can say that that's basically because of a very neophyte and sectarian view of who Lord Krishna is and who Lord Shiva is. Because as when we read the scriptures and we hear, you know, how Lord Shiva is praising Lord Krishna in such wonderful, with such wonderful prayers and this song that he's singing to Lord Krishna, then we can see that all this is based on, you know, a very neophyte vision. So, you know, when is a devotee neophyte? Is when he's sectarian. You know, we're right, you're wrong. We're the best, you're bad. You know, we're good, you're bad. When he has a very negative view of such great personalities like Lord Shiva. You know, sometimes we think because Lord Shiva has certain functions in the universe, and because we don't worship him on the altar, then we might have a negative thoughts or attitude towards Lord Shiva, a great personality like Lord Shiva. Also, when we don't understand the mission of Lord Shiva, his you know, mission in this universe, his service to Lord Krishna, which is quite amazing, to take care of the destruction of the universe, to take care of all the conditioned souls which are influenced by tamagun, it's not a very simple or easy, or, you know, it's basically a thankless service and very, very important duty. Also, a neophyte devotee has a tendency to compare, you know, who's better, all these, you know, neophyte tendencies. Also, we become proud, you know, we think we're better. And also, we don't listen, we have difficulty to listen. So, you know, and then as I said before, even it comes to the point of fighting, sometimes a neophyte devotee is fighting with other devotees because difference of worship or understanding. And also, neophyte devotee has a tendency to judge, you know. We think we are supreme and we judge everybody else, and we put everybody else on the accusation stand, except ourselves, of course. And we have a tendency to criticize. We love to criticize any imperfections in others, and we don't see any imperfections in ourselves. But that's not, you know, this neophyte stage is not very helpful for our spiritual advancement. It's a very, it should be very, how do you say, very quickly overcome if we want to go on with spiritual life, because in a neophyte stage, we don't make much progress, and we're not very blissful, and we can get into trouble, even worse. So we have to try to come very, very hard to the level of Madhyam. It's what we all strive for in the Krishna conscious movement, to all become empowered Madhyam devotees, that we can preach and have the proper consciousness, you know, to not be sectarian, to have positive thoughts about great personalities of this universe, whether they're demigods, Lord Shiva, great sadhus, devotees, no matter what their position, what their function is in the universe, we have to see them in a positive light. We have to try to understand the apparent contradictions that sometimes might arise in the activities of great personalities. We have to avoid comparing. It's quite bad to compare all the time. And try to appreciate as much as possible the contributions of everyone. What to speak of great personalities like Lord Shiva. Try to think of, appreciate what he's actually doing in the universe. To definitely not be judgmental, unless we want to be judged first and take the full responsibility of being judged. This comes also with non-critical, and we discriminate, you know, Madhyam devotees discriminate in the proper way with the understanding of Shastra, of advice from the sadhus, proper discrimination. And then, of course, Madhyam devotee tries to be humble so that we don't get carried away by our arrogance and pride. And he tries to listen properly. And this listening is not only from this, you know, one source, a spiritual master or some very, you know, obvious advanced devotee, but also listens carefully to anybody, because we can get spiritual advice at any moment from anyone, even from non-devotees. We can get amazing spiritual instructions if our heart is ready to listen properly. If we close up and we think, oh, he's not qualified, I'm better, he's, you know, why can he tell me? Then we're not going to make much spiritual advancement, because as we progress in spiritual life and we try to become to the platform of Madhyam, then we can hear actually from anyone. And sometimes we hear amazing things from persons who are, you know, not devotees, who are either practicing another faith or no faith, you know, because Krishna's in the heart of everyone, so he can actually give us amazing instructions if we are ready to hear. But many times we close ourselves because we think, I can only hear from this one or from that one or in this circumstance or in this place. But if we are, you know, properly cultivating spiritual life, we'll be amazed how much we can absorb spiritual guidance at any moment. I just wanted to speak a little bit about this neophyte attitude, because many times we have the wrong perception or the wrong understanding of Lord Shiva's position. And, you know, for example, now I one devotee in Vrindavan, he made a beautiful painting of Lord Shiva. His name is Vrindavan Das. He makes these beautiful paintings of Radha and Krishna. You know, there's a book now came out, posters, and I purchased two very nice paintings, one of Krishna and one of Radharani. And he didn't have much in stock because he's so popular that he gets all these orders, so he's always painting on orders. So I asked him, do you have anything in stock? And he had, of course, these two beautiful paintings of Radha and Krishna, and he had a very large Lord Shiva. And first I hesitated, you know, should I order it, should I buy it, should I not buy it? But knowing his, you know, how good he is in his art, I purchased it. And it was, you know, it's a large painting. And then I started to think, oh, will there be a problem to have a painting of Lord Shiva somewhere in the temple? And so I asked Vijay Chaitanya, and then, you know, we saw the painting, it's quite beautiful, so Vijay Chaitanya said, of course we can have Lord Shiva, he's the greatest devotee of Vishnu. So we're going to have a very nice painting of Lord Shiva on the first floor. You'll be able to offer obeisances to Lord Shiva when you pass by. All the guests will also be able to see this beautiful painting. And of course in the museum we have very nice statues and paintings of Lord Shiva. So his prayers, Lord Shiva being the greatest devotee and one of the great demigods, guna avatars of this universe, his songs or his prayers are supreme. We can see how imbued of devotion, of knowledge, purity, they're like, you know, out of this world, even though apparently simple. They are very, very profound prayers. And so I would say that they're supreme prayers, supremely prayers, supremely devotional prayers. So if Lord Shiva is saying that he desires to not be misled by these agitations in the material world, and he's considered to be completely dhira, you know, undisturbed, how should we feel? You know, he's such a great personality, one of the, you know, great personalities of the universe. He's praying to not be misled. Then how much more we should be, you know, praying practically 24 hours a day to not be misled by the all these agitations that are here in the material world. At any moment they come. At any moment we can be swayed from the path of devotion of Krishna consciousness, so we have to really learn how to pray to not be misled. We are so tiny compared to Lord Shiva, and he's giving the example of praying for, you know, being not being misled. Srila Prabhupada said many times that his Western disciples were a little bit too nonchalant. They didn't feel afraid of Maya or being, you know, deviated from Krishna consciousness. And that is definitely a flaw, because great personalities like Srila Prabhupada and Lord Shiva, they are also very much aware, cautious, very cautious, and praying to Krishna to please protect them. So what to speak of us, you know, we're barely making, you know, having some glimpses of spiritual life, Krishna consciousness, and we rarely pray to be protected because we think, you know, we're so powerful and you know, we made it. So we have to be very careful and pray to Krishna that we're not misled by all the disturbances in material world. So we also see that Lord Shiva is a very intimate associate of Lord Vishnu, and he sometimes performs certain services that nobody else can perform, like, you know, when Lord Shiva manifested as Shankaracharya, he performs a service that nobody else would be able to do. It was like a very intimate service to Lord Vishnu, to Lord Chaitanya. Jai Shishwara Gopinath Ki Jai. And that's why it requires a certain vision to understand, you know, the position of Lord Shiva and the services that he's performing, the very intimate and unique services that he's performing. To destroy the universe is not a very, you know, understandable service, but it is a big service to wind everything up when the time is there, to destroy everything, to give shelter to so many, you know, fallen souls, you know, very much influenced by ignorance. You know, that's also amazing service that he's performing. And to preach Mayavad philosophy, you know, for us might think, wow, that's, how can that be a service? It seems to be like a disservice. But Lord Chaitanya has his reasons why he incarnates as Lord Buddha to preach, you know, voidism, or he empowers or sends Lord Shiva to preach Mayavad philosophy, and there are reasons for that. Many times I wonder, why is it so difficult for Vaishnavas and Gaudiya Vaishnavas to have a clear position in the world, especially in relationship to other major religions like Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, which claim to be the only monotheistic traditions. And there's a reason to that. Krishna has a plan, and when he wants things are covered, and when he wants things become manifest, and when they become manifest is under his will, and when he covers things up, it's also under his will. Nothing happens without his planning or his will. So Lord Shiva does very special service to accomplish the plan of the Lord. So Lord Shiva possesses all the qualities that a perfected jiva has, and I thought, you know, we all know this in the Nectar of Devotion, there's a very nice list of all the qualities of Krishna, and it starts by explaining that the first 50 qualities, they are also developed in all the perfected souls, in all the liberated souls, Lord Brahma, and of course Lord Shiva also possesses them, you know, all the wonderful qualities described. I won't read them all, but there's quite some interesting, nice ones. Happy, steadfast, forbearing, forgiving, grave, self-satisfied, possessing equilibrium, magnanimous, religious, heroic, compassionate, respectful, gentle, liberal, shy, the protector of the surrendered souls, the well-wisher of devotees, controlled by love, etc. So there's many, many qualities that Lord Shiva possesses, like all the perfected souls. Plus, there's a few qualities. Maybe who remembers which are the four qualities? The five qualities that Lord Shiva possesses that the living entities don't possess, even the perfected living entities. You mean not that? Possibly, yeah. It's not one of the qualities described. But you're saying the dance of destruction. It's meant here the five qualities which are uniquely, I mean, only seen in Lord Vishnu, Krishna, and in this case Lord Shiva, is that he's changeless. He's all cognizant. He's ever fresh. He has a Satchitananda body, possessing a body full of bliss and eternal knowledge. And he possesses all mystic perfections. So Lord Shiva has all the mystic perfections. So, you know, these are some qualities that we find in Lord Shiva. And he's also considered one of the 12 Mahajans. There are 12 personalities that are empowered to present Krishna consciousness, transmit Krishna consciousness in the universe throughout time, and one of them is Lord Shiva. So he's one of the great propounders of Vaishnava philosophy and Krishna consciousness. He's also considered a marginal position because he's not fully Vishnu Tattva, but he's not a jiva either. So he's in a category of his own, which is Shiva Tattva. And it's a marginal position in between Vishnu, Lord Narayan, Krishna, and the Jivas. And he's also considered a plenary portion of the Lord, because he's indirect contact with the material nature, he's not exactly on the same transcendental position as Lord Vishnu and Lord Narayan. But he has a very special place. When we look at this, this poster of all the different levels and abodes, who remembers where the abode of Lord Shiva is? Huh? Yes, it's before Vaikuntha. There's a whole abode of Lord Shiva, where all the different Shiva manifestations are present. And of course, in this material world, he has a place, a residence. Who knows the residence of Lord Shiva? Nobody's made it to Mount Kailash? Nobody's seen Mount Kailash?
Video.
On video. So many pilgrims, they go just to have darshan of Mount Kailash. And what is the carrier of Lord Shiva? Nandi. He has a very beautiful carrier. And of course we can say many more things about Lord Shiva. Srila Prabhupada many times talks about Lord Shiva being like curd and Vishnu and Krishna like milk. It's the same substance, but there's a difference. You cannot use curd as milk and milk as curd. So there's a difference, but it's the same substance. So we could say many things about Lord Shiva being such a great personality, but I just wanted to say a few words about a point that Srila Prabhupada makes in the purport, which is very important, about Krishna being Rishikesh, and how, we know that if we don't, that there's different ways to control the senses. Some yogis try very, very hard by meditation to control the senses, very strict discipline and breathing exercises and austerities. And we see these pictures of yogis from India going through so much austerities. What is the goal of that? Basically, it's just to control the senses, in the first stages at least. And, you can see how hard it is to control the senses. Then you have also many gyanis who, read so much philosophy, have so much understanding of the world, of the material world, and also to control the senses, to understand what is spiritual and what is material. But here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna is known as Rishikesh, or master of the senses. And for him, if one is surrendered to Krishna, then for him to control our senses is very easy, because he's a master of the senses, so he can control our senses very easily. All it requires is a very simple task, which is to surrender to Krishna, which we can all do. That's within our grasp. That's something that any jiva can do, surrender to Krishna. So if we surrender to Krishna, then automatically Krishna can easily take care of controlling our senses. And we know that, if we surrender to the Lord, as it says here at the end, it says, we can remain completely perfect when one is under the protection of Vasudev. But if one cannot be fully under the protection of Vasudev by surrender 24 hours a day, then it says, or when he's engaged in devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada established a whole system, a whole process of engaging devotees who were very young and had very uncontrolled senses. And by giving them so many different services according to the capacities of all his followers and disciples, then the senses became controlled practically automatically. And the moment one stopped this service and this process of Krishna consciousness, then again the senses become wild. Immediately they kind of jump into a wild kind of agitated and wild nature. So Srila Prabhupada established a system by which the senses can be controlled quite easily by engaging in Krishna consciousness and following the process, taking prasadam, doing the service according to our capacity. Then this problem of controlling the senses is quite easily performed. So that's the miracle of Krishna consciousness, of Bhakti Yoga, that without too many like external arrangements or efforts, the senses can be controlled, which is the most difficult thing in this world to control. To be dhira, to be you know, shantaya, kutashtaya, that's a very difficult thing to achieve in this world. And devotees who are sincerely following the process and trying to surrender to Krishna, then this very difficult position is achieved, which for other spiritualists and others who are trying to do it by themselves, it becomes very difficult. Without surrender to Krishna, to control the senses, it's like trying to climb Kailash by yourself. It's not that easy. So Srila Prabhupada mentions a lot the word grace. By the grace of Lord Krishna, then this control of the senses can be achieved very easily. So the grace is a very important element, because as is mentioned, the senses belong to Krishna, the sense objects belong to Krishna, He formed them, He created them. So for Him it's very easy to engage the senses and the sense objects in His service. But for us it's very difficult, because we're struggling in this world. So by the grace of Krishna, then we can also very easily use our senses in Krishna's service. But actually the process is very simple. It's just surrender, because it's Krishna who is engaging our senses in His service. We're just surrendering. We're just desiring to serve Krishna. We're just desiring to surrender. But the actual controlling of the senses, if we think we're doing it, then that's also Maya. Because you know, if we think we're controlling the senses, or we're engaging our senses in Krishna's service, that's also a little bit influence of Maya, because actually the senses belong to Krishna and the sense objects also. So only He can engage them in His service. We can just desire to serve Krishna, to surrender to Krishna, to be an instrument in His power, in His control. So maybe there's some more comments on Lord Shiva, or on the different points that Srila Prabhupada mentions. Of course, he's talking also about the six agitation transformations. So they're considered, you know, transformations like agitations. So some of the basic ones we all know: hunger and thirst. If we're hungry and thirsty, then we can easily become disturbed, to the point that people kill each other, wars are fought. You know, if people are very hungry and very thirsty, societies, then they're going to even kill others because of this agitation, of this need. Then it's also growing old and dying. That's quite obvious. When we grow old and die, we might become agitated and disturbed, unless one is Krishna conscious. Then these things have either much less impact or no impact if one is 100% Krishna conscious. Also, when people are aggrieved, when they are like some pain is there, then they can also become agitated if they're approached by other people. If you're aggrieved and somebody comes to you, you might become agitated or disturbed. And of course, illusioned. That's very broad principle, to be illusioned. So maybe some comments, questions?
How many forms of Shiva? Like Vishnu is Paramatma, Krishna.
Well, in the same way as Krishna has innumerable incarnations and different categories of incarnations, different forms. Lord Shiva has his own whole jiva tattva, Shiva tattva. But because, and in general, we're not so expert, we might not know so much about the different forms. And there's all the rudras. How many there are? 12 rudras.
11.
How many?
11
rudras. Different.
Principle, but there are like more than 100 types, right? The Prabhupada said that there are 11 principles.
So Lord Shiva has also his divisions and categories, different forms. Bharata. I'm not an expert, but I would say that even Lord Shiva, which is here in Mount Kailash, he also has these qualities. In the same way as Garbhoda Kaishai Vishnu, who is in this material world, he has all the qualities of Vishnu. So when the material world is destroyed or annihilated, they remain in the same form, in the same. There's no destruction of their form, or have to change their body or things like that. So I would say Lord Shiva is the same, but I'm not an expert.
Sometimes I hear the devotee says that Lord Shiva is the ward of the holy dam of Vrindavan.
Is the what?
The guardian.
Guardian. That's another function of Lord Shiva, is to guard holy places. And Radharani. Ah, competition. Vaishnavi. Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava and Radharani is the greatest Vaishnavi.